can't get over the thrill of walking in a place and knowing that God is using me. And I'm thankful for it. And preacher, I want to thank the church family for a place to stay, a comfortable place to stay, and all of those good, unhealthy things in the room. And I am not a health freak, other than the fact if it's healthy, I don't like it. And my wife's not with me, and so I really get to mess up. Amen. I tell our church if it's sugar-free, cholesterol-free, fat-free, it's nasty, all right? So, and I always offend somebody when I say that because somebody in here is a nutritionist or a health expert or a doctor or a nurse or whatever, and they keep telling me you keep eating bad, you're going to die of bad health. And I keep telling them they keep eating good, they're going to die of depression. So, I'll meet you in the morning. And but I'm thankful to be here. I really am. And I've looked forward to coming. And I thank the Lord for Jesus. And I want to appreciate the messages in song and the encouragement. I appreciate the family singing, that precious girl singing for the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. The devil doesn't have all of them. I thank the Lord for that. And I'm thrilled to see preachers, men of God, standing up. Standing for God wherever you are. Oh, in this day, we don't need politicians. We need preachers who will stand on the authority of the word of God. Will not waver. Just preach what thus saith the Lord. In season and out of season. Paul said the time will come. Guess what? It has come. But God's word stands. And I'm glad tonight we're not guessing at it. Amen. I mean, we're not taking a stab at it. We're not just experimenting at it. Amen. We're not hypothesizing at it. We got the Bible. God took 40 men over 1600 period time and produced a manuscript cover to cover. It's still the bestseller. Amen. Inspired, breathed by God. Infallible, can't fail. Inerrant, no errors. It's a pure word. A prophetic word, a perfect word, a precious word, a piercing word, a probing word, a penetrating word, a profitable word, a perfecting word, a precious word, a potent word. It's God's word. And it still works. Oh my soul, it still works. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to come up here and try to sell anything. Just preach the book. Amen. Thank you, men, for preaching the book. And I trust God continues to gird you up and strengthen you in your ministries as you continue to live for him. I don't even have this thing on. I'm going to get it now.
Say all that again. They didn't hear
me. He said, say all that again. Nobody heard me. Thank you. That's good sound, man, back there. He just covered for me. Turn this pulpit mic on. Am I on now? We got it on. Amen. I said God's word stands. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. And I've got in the foyer, I won't say a lot about it, but I've got some music CDs and I've got some preaching MP3s. If it be a blessing to you, stop by there. There are 10 messages on those MP3s and some songs. I'm not a big seller, so I don't like talking about it. It's a struggle for me to even mention it. But if it can be a blessing to you, I trust it will, and may God use it in a very special way. Tyreek, stand up just a moment, would you? And we're so proud of this young man. Tyreek is a member of Crossroads Baptist Church. Got saved about 6 years ago. Came in through our bus ministry. Parents never been to church. He's a first-generation New Testament Christian. Got grounded in the local church. I hate to bust your bubble if I do tonight, but I'm a local church guy. I believe in the authority of the local church. I believe in the institution of the local church. I believe the Great Commission was given to the local church. I believe it's the vehicle for reaching the world. I believe the hope for America is in the local church. This young man's a living testimony of it. Surrendered, sat down, got busy in the church. Surrendered to preach. And just this past fall, just about a little bit over a month ago, came down to King, North Carolina, where he's training. Unheard of in his family. He's training in pastoral ministries to one day plant a local church. And I'm mighty proud of him. Glad he's here tonight. God bless you, young man. And our church is thrilled to stand behind him. If he'll get up and serve God, we'll make sure his school bill gets paid. It'd be worth the sacrifice. Amen. We're not trying to get another LeBron James or another Kobe, but we need some preachers. Some preachers by the grace of God who will break the cycle. Amen. And stand up and show people what a young black man sold out for God looks like. And so we're behind him. And we appreciate the folks at Calvary that are being an extension of us and training him and giving him a wonderful place where he's learning and growing and thriving in the Lord. And we're thrilled about it. Go to the Word of God, if you would, with me to the book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter number 3 for the preaching of God's Word. Would you stand to your feet with me if you're physically able? Daniel chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was in hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we come before thy throne tonight, knowing that you are worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you alone are worthy. Now, God, I pray, God, tonight that you take me as your vessel, that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. God, I don't want this to be a performance. I don't want it to be entertainment. I'm not up here trying to show off. God, I need you to speak through me. So I pray that you would get me out of the way. I pray that you'll bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place, keep him from interfering in the service tonight. May we not be distracted. May we not be worried about what happened earlier, or nervous, or in a hurry to get to the football game afterwards. May in this moment our eyes be open, our ears be open, our hearts be open. May we not leave here just emotionally stirred, but may we leave here eternally changed. I pray, God, that you would change us from the inside out. Bless every person that is in the building tonight, not by chance, but by your divine choosing. Do a great work. And then, Father, I'm asking you to watch over my wife and my family while I'm gone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We find ourselves in the book of Daniel. And we find a number of people that are in Babylon that are not from Babylon. They didn't ask to be there, but that's where they ended up. I hate to tell you this, but the providence of God will take you some places where you didn't ask to be. But God knows better where you belong than you know yourself. Children were snatched away from their families, snatched away from their familiarity, and brought to a foreign land. It wasn't just a change in landscape. It wasn't just a change in scenery. It wasn't just a change in culture. It wasn't just a change in commerce or currency. Everything was different in Babylon. There was no temple where they could worship God. They could sing no songs to Jehovah God. In Babylon, it was vile. In Babylon, it was wicked. In Babylon, it was idolatrous. In Babylon, it was immoral. And yet the providence of God set them there. Living
standing for God. Standing for God. Eager to serve God. They ended up in Babylon. And because they did right, they ended up in the fire. Now I want to tell you something. You do right long enough, you'll end up in the fire. There are some of you in the building tonight I've never met before. We've never had a conversation. I know nothing about your background, what you're facing, what you're dealing with, what you've been through, what's happened in your life. But I know enough about the Christian life to tell you, if you're in the building and you're saved by the grace of God, that's the only way you can be saved. That's by the grace of God. You can't be saved by works. You can't be saved by your own merit. You can't be saved by baptism. You can't be saved by religion. You can't be saved by being the offspring of a Christian. You must be saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad when there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough, that the God-man died, was buried, and rose again. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm glad I'm saved. But if you're saved tonight, you're either in the fire, we're just in the fire, or headed to the fire. Tonight, I want to preach on this subject, how to come out the fire. I've never seen more believers than what I see today are in the fire. Some of you are sitting in church tonight because you know it's where you should be. Some of you have a Bible because you know it has the answer to life's problems. Some of you know you're singing these songs of Zion because you know them songs of the devil aren't what you should be singing. And yet in the middle of what you're doing, you're going through a physical fire. You're going through a marital fire. You're going through a financial fire. I can't tell you how many folks are dealing with cancer, diabetes, blood pressure, and all kinds of nonsense. Some of you parents living for God are dealing with a wayward child. Some of you spouses standing for God are dealing with a carnal spouse. Some of you church members living for God have lost your job. You've been ridiculed. Some of you preachers standing for God, having problems growing your church, losing members for your stand for God. The fire will come, but the fire doesn't have to kill you. By the grace of God, you can come out that fire. I said, by the grace of God, you can come out that fire. I'm glad that when those fires come, that I have a God who's bigger than the fire. He's greater than the fire. He's stronger than the fire. I'm glad that when the devil lurks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, I've got a God who's greater than the fire. I'm glad when this wicked flesh in which dwelleth no good thing wants me to go the wrong direction, I've got the Holy Ghost of God in me that's greater than the fire. I'm here to encourage somebody. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you give out. Don't you slow down. Don't you back up, put up, or shut up. God will bring you out the fire. What will it take? Number one, established character. See, if you're going to come out the fire, you got to go in right. I said, gold doesn't burn. Job said, I shall come forth as gold. You know why? Because he went in as gold. In Daniel chapter 1, we find some things about these fellas. We'll not turn back there, but you know the story. They were men of spiritual purpose. When offered the king's meat and the king's wine, they said, no, we will not. No, we will not. Daniel purposed in his heart. These three boys joined alongside of him. They made a disciplined choice. We will not. Can I tell you something? You want to come out that fire? You can't try to get spiritual when you go in. You got to be spiritual before it ever happens. When the temptation comes and the trial comes and the threat comes, you better already be walking with God like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. God give us some young people with spiritual purpose. I said spiritual purpose. Sincere performance. For 3 years they kept the promise. Seen prominence. They were promoted because they did right. which only put them more in the fishbowl. Come on. I tell you, one of the biggest things that the devil seems to exploit is people with prominence that fail. It's happening all over our movement. Men behind pulpits, leaders in churches, those who've signed Bibles, faces on flyers, filling up crowds, yet they're not living for God. I don't care if I sign another Bible or preach another meeting. I want to get up every day and be a man of character that tells the truth, that believes in honesty and integrity and purity and appropriateness. You may not be a deacon or a pastor or a missionary, but you can determine by the grace of God to have character. Now go back to chapter 3, and I want you to notice there, extreme courage. There's an image set up. And Nebuchadnezzar says, when the music starts playing, he says, everybody better bow down. And guess what? Everybody did. Except these three. See, you want to come out the fire, you got to have some extreme courage. Courage what? Courage not to bow when total participation does bow. And I'm telling you, we're living in America that's changing right in front of our faces. I'm not just talking about what they're doing in the streets and what they're doing downtown. I'm talking about what's happening in the Church of the Living God. Amen. I tell our people all the time, churches don't drown because they're in the world. Just like boats don't drown because they're in the water. That's where boats belong. They don't drown because they're in the water. They drown because the water is in them. Churches don't drown because they're in the world. Churches drown because the world's in them. God, give us some men, women, boys, and girls that say they may bow when it comes to marriage. They may bow when it comes to morality. They may bow when it comes to money. They may bow when it comes to ministry. They may bow when it comes to the manual of the Word of God. I don't care what they do. We will not bow. Everybody bowed. Total participation. Yet they had a true position. We're standing on principle. We will not bow, King. There are certain fellas that you promoted. Remember those fellas you gave a position to? They're the ones standing. Watch it now. Somebody's watching you. Come on, say amen. Amen. Somebody's watching you. Nebuchadnezzar found out these guys that he had set up, verse 12, certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Then they named them, these men have not regarded thee. Guess what? They had courage knowing they were not to serve some human king. They serve the one true king. Notice number 3, expressed confidence. So they're confronted. Notice this intimidating confrontation. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Now, he was no slouch. He was the most powerful man alive at the time. He pulls these boys in front of him and throws a temper tantrum. Amen. You want to talk about being intimidated? Let the most powerful man on the universe throw a temper tantrum in your face and see if your knees don't start buckling. Amen. This intimidating confrontation was met with indicated consequences. Not only am I mad and I'm powerful, but I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow down. But they met him with intense commitment. Notice what they said according to the word of God. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, you may be a king. You may sit on a throne and the rest of the world may quiver and shiver when you talk. There may be a furnace filled with fire that threatens the burn us up if we don't bow, but we're not scared to answer you in this matter. We got a God that we serve, and we've made up our mind, regardless of who's watching, regardless of how we're threatened, we will not bow. I'm talking about coming out the fire. You got to go in right. And let's not lie. The world can be intimidating. Turn the news on today. Another shooting. This is where we're raising our kids. This is where we're winning souls. This is where we're knocking on doors. This is where our people live. If we're not careful, we'll see the devil sitting on his throne going, "You Christian folks, change the way you believe, change the way you sing, change your standards, change your principles on the word of God. It really doesn't matter. Nobody's doing that anymore." Can I tell you something? New Testament Christianity and God's way was never popular. It was never mainstream. When the whole world had gone wicked and God said, "I repent that I made man," there was one man in his family that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's not looking for a crowd that will bow. He's looking for a man that will stand. We're not careful. We're not afraid. We're not afraid to tell you where we stand. I'm not asking you how you act in church. That's convenient. I'm asking you what you say on your job. I'm not asking you what you did in this choir loft today. If you weren't doing it, you would have looked out of place. I'm asking you what you're doing when you get in that car full of heathens that are blasting their ungodly music. I'm asking you what you're doing at that lunch table full of vulgar words and dirty jokes. I'm asking you what you're doing standing in front of that computer screen with a mouse in your hand and nobody looking in your shoulders. Somebody's got to get some courage to say, "I'm not scared to let the devil know. I'm not scared to let the world know. I'm not scared to let everybody know. I'll stand for God." Well, then I want you to notice emphatic conviction. Nebuchadnezzar, God is able. Somebody ought to say amen that God is able. That's their courage. God's able to deliver us. Boy, aren't you glad we have that confidence? I was turning the sports on today and I was watching some of the sportscasters react to this shooting. And the lady, she was one of those sports shows. She was crying. She was a mother. She was crying. And she said, "It just scares me that every time you turn, there's a shooting and this has become the norm." And then she said this, "I don't pray. I'm an atheist." No wonder she's messed up. No wonder she couldn't get her words together. And were it not for the grace of God, we'd be stuttering and stammering too. But when things don't add up, and the world can't give an answer, and my mind can't wrap itself around what's going on, there's one thing I know: the God that I serve, He is able. He put the stars in place. He put the moon in space. He put the sun hanging on nothing. He took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. My God, I said, my God is able. Then they said, "But if not." No, wait. He's able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still ain't bowing. Some of us, we were riding well till we got to that point. "I got cancer, Pastor. And God is able to heal me of cancer. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. I got a rebellious child. And God is able to find that prodigal in the pig pen, to have him come to himself, run back home, get a robe on his back, a ring on his hands, and shoes on his feet. But if God doesn't bring that prodigal back, We're going to stay on that bus route, singing that choir, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Keep on tithing. Keep on shouting. If my son doesn't come home, God's still good. If my cancer doesn't get healed, God's still good. If my money's still funny, God's still good. If my church stays small, God's still good. If we never come out that fire, we still going to go in. You say, what's that got to do with? See, if you don't have enough conviction about God to live for him, even if he doesn't deliver you, you won't have it what it takes to get delivered. Somebody help me preach. There was conviction. There was conviction. You young preacher stood up a few moments ago and announced with great pride, spiritual pride, not bad pride, but pride, that I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't rather stand up and say anything else in the world, Brother Philbeck, than that I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God counted me faithful, that the Holy Ghost of God chose me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not preaching it in the generations of past. You're preaching it in a postmodern society, in an atheistic society. You're preaching among Calvinists. You're preaching among liberals. You're preaching among those that will pervert the gospel. You better have some guts. Forget about running a big crowd. Forget about your name in the publication. Forget about everybody liking you in town. Make up your mind. If nobody likes me, if nobody shows up, if everybody goes, if my family thinks I'm crazy, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. And you will be challenged. Conviction. I want you to notice something else about this conviction. That the Bible says their conviction was amidst an unknown future and an unmovable faith. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew who was in control. I turn the news on sometime and I go, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know the one who does. Boy, I'm glad regardless of what happens every 4 years in November, God has not vacated his throne. No, some of you better say amen, because we better forget acting like the world's going to end based on what happens on Fox News or CNN. I want you to know, regardless of who goes in or out of the White House, you look up in God's house, the same God is sitting on the throne. He's high and lifted up. He hadn't lost a step. He hadn't missed a beat. He hadn't got voted out. He didn't get voted in. He can't get impeached. He's not going to resign. Forever and ever he shall reign. Now I want you to notice in this fire there was an eternal companion. Somebody showed up. Pastor, how am I going to come out the fire? I'll tell you how you're going to come out the fire. Somebody going to join you in it. I said somebody's going to join you in it. Boy, if you've been saved any length of time, you know what it's like to be in the midst of that fire, not knowing how you're going to make it, not knowing how you're going to get out, not knowing what's going to happen, but just in the nick of time, somebody shows up. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not your parents, not your friends, but the one who died for you, the one who loved you, and the one who saved you. I'm glad that I learned somewhere down the line, I couldn't ride off of mama's faith. I couldn't ride off of daddy's faith. I couldn't ride off of youth pastor's faith. I had to get to know Jesus all by myself. And when my wife is asleep and my dad is out of town and my church doesn't understand and my friends can't handle what I tell them, there's a Savior that shows up in the midst of the fire. On time. Prompt appearance. Somebody say amen if you know he's always on time. his prompt appearance. Notice, if you would, his powerful effect. What did Jesus showing up do? Well, he provided liberating provision. They went in bound. He loosed them. He provided living progress. Their feet were tied up, but when he showed up, they were walking. He provided lacking pain. They were in a fire that killed the men that threw them in, and yet it didn't hurt them. See, when Jesus walks through the fire, the people trying to kill you get killed by the stuff they were trying to use to kill you. Somebody say amen. Preacher, God never determined for you to handle the people trying to burn you. You just walk with Jesus, and the fire they use to burn you will burn them. Boy, I've seen Jesus show up. Amen. And I've seen what it was like when I tried to handle it on my own. You can go and act dignified if you want to, but I'm going to go in and shame the devil and let you know that sometimes I've been out of place trying to handle God's business. But the times I've determined by the grace of God, you let me go in this fire. You determined to take care of me because I stood for you. In the nick of time, he showed up, loosed those handcuffs, unbuckled those shackles. Let me tell you something. You may be in the fire, but you can keep on walking, because as long as Jesus was with you, the fire can't stop your progress. Now I want to tell you one of the main points of this message that stands out to me is that in the midst of this eternal companion, there are some eyewitnessing characters. Nebuchadnezzar threw him in. And then came back to check on him. By the way, the world that heard you brag on your God, when you go in the fire, they're coming back check on you. All your friends that you left because you said you're starting to serve God, in a year or so, they're going to come back to check on you. How you doing at that home, carrying that Bible and singing them songs? They come back to check on you. The boss that fired you is checking on you. Come on. The liar that ran down your character is checking on you. The family members that think you're in a cult because you love Jesus, they're checking on you. They put you in the fire, but they're trying to find out what the fire is putting in you. And he looked in and was surprised at what he saw. I mean, there's an intrigued reaction on his part. The Bible said he was astonished. Amen. But when you live for God in the midst of a fire, it astonishes people. How you smiling, you just lost a loved one. How you giving when you broke. How you shouting when you just lost your job. Why are you still going to church when your kids have gone astray? Why you love God when your husband left you? Why are you in the church building when you're on chemotherapy? I'll tell you why. Jesus is walking with me. I said Jesus is walking with me. There was an intrigue reaction. There was an interrogating recollection. Did we not throw three men into the fire? And then there was an instinctive recognition. The reaction was, wow. The recollection was three. The recognition was four. And not only are there four people in the fire, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now wait a minute. Nebuchadnezzar had never seen Jesus. He didn't grow up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. He didn't have a picture of Jesus in his dining room. He'd never been to worship service like this. He didn't know nothing, no songs like I Never Shall Forget the Day. Come on now. He couldn't sing Life Now Sweet and My Joy Is Complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He couldn't take nobody back to that old-fashioned aisle where he got saved. But the first time he ever laid his eyes on Jesus, there was a royalty about him. There was a purity about him. There was a regalness about him. There was a power about him. There was a dignity about... Listen to me. The greatest testimony that you'll ever have for Jesus Christ is not what you say in 3 minutes. It's how you live 7 days a week and you walk with God. You live for God. Lost people that don't even know God will say, boom, shaka, laka, laka, laka. That's the Son of God.
And they're watching. So your mama's watching from Washington, D.C. So God's so good. You leaving here and going to King, North Carolina to train? I wouldn't go. That's what she's thinking. I wouldn't go. But I'm going to watch how you go. Let's see if your Facebook page change in the fire. Huh? But I've seen a lot of shouting Christians lose their shout in the fire. See the world, see the Christian, the church sympathize with you. But the world judges you. God ain't good no more? Huh? The preaching ain't right no more? Huh? Them standards aren't real no more? Come on. Those principles don't work no more. Jesus is not still alive. The world doesn't still work. And you get bitter instead of getting better. And you and I know preachers that aren't doing what they used to condemn others for not doing, because they didn't last in the fire. They've changed their standards. They've changed their name. They've changed their principles and got the nerve to excuse it. You told everybody in your family that you had found something like you'd never found before. You went and told them that Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to you. You sent letters back home and said, I've been learning the Bible and singing songs I've never sung before. Now when the fire come, keep singing them. Because they're watching. They're watching to see how the fire they threw you in will consume you. It challenges me. Because as preachers, we're so convinced that everybody is watching when we stand up in a pulpit. That's when the brethren are watching. The world don't know who you are in fundamentalism. They don't even know what fundamentalism is. Come on now. The world don't know anything about services like this. The world doesn't get on those gospel social media chat rooms. Come on. But they know that Jesus and the devil don't look alike. And I'm having a hard time understanding why the world knows that and some church people don't. We got churches nowadays want to bring church down to the level. Come as you are and leave as you were. It don't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter how you act. It doesn't matter what we do. And let me tell you something. Jesus loves everybody. Yes, he does. Jesus saves anybody. Yes, he does. You can come to church as you are. But bless God, once you come as you are, don't you leave as you were. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't want to dress the same. I don't want to act the same. I don't want to think the same. I don't want to do the same. He saved my soul. Now you got these folks. They got two kinds of services. They're not accommodating the world. They're accommodating carnal Christians. And the world walks into one of them carnal Christian services and goes, I thought this was a church. I thought Jesus was in here. Am I where I was last night?
Man, that stuff sounds like what we heard at the club. And the ladies dress the same way too. They have higher expectations of you than they have of themselves. And they should. They ain't saved. You are saved. But I can't do it. You couldn't get saved. God had to save you. And if it took God to save you, don't you think he can sanctify you? If God sealed you, don't you think he can strengthen you? I thought we threw three in. It's four. And them boys walking around. And Jesus is in there. Eyewitnessing characters. Let me try to close. There was an effected change. Contrasting action. I mean, earlier in the passage, the Bible said he was full of fury and threw him in. By this time, he's so astonished. The same man that was mad and threw them in is surprised bringing them out. you wear that? Don't nobody wear that no more. I tell our ladies in the church, the world ain't thinking about you when they design clothes. Now, seamstresses, let's not forget those Christians down there. Make some long ones for them. Ain't nobody got time for that. They're not thinking about you. You better be thinking about him. This is the truth. We're in the last days. We don't need some blend-ins. We need some standouts. We don't need some shut-ups. We need some speak-ups. Amen. We don't need some chameleons. Amen. We need some conquerors. Amen. Who determined by the grace of God, God is still real. You going back there again? Didn't you read that yesterday? You giving them people how much? Your boy can't miss one service for a game? Now let that coach walk into the doctor and get diagnosed with cancer and see which player's parents he asked to pray for him. He ain't going to ask them ones that was at the game on Wednesday. He gonna ask them parents of that boy that said, no, coach, we know you got practice, but we got a previously scheduled event. Amen. My boy, one of the reasons why my family's not here is I got one of my sons playing football, and he's got 3 days of practice, and we don't want to pull him from it during this time. But I told the coach when I first got there, I said, now, coach, we don't practice on Wednesday. No Wednesday. I don't care if the championship game on Wednesday. We'll be praying for y'all. Praying that we win? No, praying that you get to the point where you don't practice on Wednesday. So I said, we're just not we're not going. My son's team walked yesterday for Down syndrome. What a great cause. But the walk took place at 9 o'clock. He missed it. But we raised $500 to give to it. And the coach sent out an email this morning. Thanks to Kenny Baldwin and the members of his congregation for the generous donation. They watching. They watching. Now, as soon as I'd have sent my son out there yesterday, coach would have said, I thought you said you don't miss.
It's good. That's exactly right. You're right.
Or you just don't miss except for major events. Once you miss one time, second time be a whole lot easier. And parents, you better start putting your foot down. Amen. If they don't pay the bills, they don't decide whether they stay home from church. And if they don't like the rules, let them go pay for a place where they like the rules. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. My mama's had cancer 3 times. Breast cancer. 1990, 1992, 2006. By the grace of God, he delivered her every time. But the doctors came in and the preachers and the counselors in the hospital said, you know, sometimes you'll be so upset you just want to cuss. Just go ahead and do it. The chaplain came in the hospital. Cancer Treatment Centers of America. The one comes on the commercial. She was gone when they first opened, in the Chicago area. And he came in and said, chaplain, ma'am, is there anything I could help you through your emotions and pray with you about? It's the chaplain. You know what she said? If you died today, are you 100% for sure? He never came back. There were nurses, patients, doctors, family members in that hospital that got saved in hospital rooms, got saved in the ride from the airport to and from the hospital. And when she walked into a hospital room to see another patient that said, I'm struggling today, and she said, I know how you feel. They said, you can't know how I feel. She said, yes, I can. I'm a patient like you are. Do you realize that that patient was so much quicker to listen to her because they knew she had been through the fire they were going through. And nowadays, I can't tell you how much, preacher, that I get emails and calls and texts from people. And I know people are watching. I know they're watching. But these people were watching when I wasn't even thinking they were watching. Boy, I'm glad I didn't compromise. Listen, preacher. They're going to be people you love that out of the blue going to walk in your office and tell you God told them to leave your church. And I'm telling you right now, they're lying. You say you can't judge their heart. No, 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 no. I'm not going to judge them. Judge according to appearance. But the Bible says judge righteous judgment. God didn't talk to them when they're living like that. But you're going to waste your time trying to convince them. Don't try to convince them that they're lying to you. Just keep walking with God through the fire. They hate your church. They hate your preaching. And they hate the people in the church. But they're watching every service online. They're tuning in before you get to the building. Waiting for your service to come. But they hate your church. And they're going to come to every wedding, funeral, and church event you have. But they hate your church. They're coming to find out if you're still preaching like you were preaching before they left. They're checking online. They're driving past the building during services. They might have a wig on sitting in the auditorium. Don't you bow. So when they wake up to reality, they can come back to a church that's the same church that it was when they left. That preacher's preaching the same Bible. They singing them same songs. They believe in those same standards. They're still preaching the cross. They're still saying hell's real. They're still preaching a victorious Christian life. Politics have changed. Paradigms have shifted. Status quo has moved. Political correctness has a new definition. But thus saith the Lord, is still the same. There was an exalted conclusion, a royal proclamation, and a resulting promotion. Nobody can talk bad about their God. He didn't say Nebuchadnezzar got saved. But he got more defensive of God than some Christians are. You know what he was saying? He ain't my God. And I ain't ready to sing I'll Never Forget the Day. But anybody that can get them people out of a fire that my boys couldn't even survive throwing them into, you better not talk about that God.
Yeah.
That's when your biggest adversary on the job, before you can even say anything, is defending you. No. Shh. Don't say that around him. He's a Christian. Same God that was telling you, what, who you think you're better than anybody else? 6 months later, oh, no. Shh.
Oh, yeah.
So, sir, what's wrong with your neck? Ain't nothing wrong with my neck. I'm trying to take. That coach start catching on after a while. I told him at the beginning, no, he don't miss Wednesdays. Kobe started missing practice. Kobe, where you been? No, I don't miss Wednesdays. He said a few weeks later, sorry, we'll be having practice on Wednesday night again. But if you have a religious exemption, I don't expect you to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think they want you to be like them. They want you to be like him. They're watching. And before long, they'll start defending you. I told our church, I say I'm closing about 12 times. Don't pay attention to it. If you were in my church, you wouldn't pay attention to it. But one of my sons recently sent me an article on Dwight Howard, basketball player. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He came into the league as a Christian, as a virgin, as a sincere child of God. And as soon as he landed in there, the other players started saying, well, you weird. We can't take you nowhere. They'd go to places and he'd come back telling them, you don't belong doing that. And they found out real early, when we go out partying, we don't need to take you because where we're going, you're not like. And then later, he started compromise. A party here, a girl here, a drink here, a club here, language here. He said, I entered the league a virgin and a Christian, and I compromised. He's 31 years old now. His five kids by five women. The title of the article in the front of Sports Illustrated, I couldn't believe they let him print it. What I went through that I don't want anybody else to go through. He said, I sold out. And when my walk with God went down, so did my game. Some people say, well, Dwight, even when he went down, was a whole lot more moral than most of those players. Yeah, but they ain't saved.
That's right.
See, God expects more out of you.
Yes,
he said, what about all them other ones that were bowing? Why didn't God judge them? They ain't know no better.
That's right.
And I'm sure there were some other Jews in there that bowed.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't no question about them. But you notice we don't talk about them. They didn't make scripture. Go ahead and blend in. You won't be making an impact on anybody. You'll be so normal, you won't be noticed. You stand up when everybody's bowing down. They'll be talking about you. Amen. Well, yeah, they'll be talking about me burning. No, they'll be talking about how you didn't burn when you should have burned because Jesus showed up. And we all know when a fire happens, everybody come out and watch. And wouldn't it be something? If right here in Salisbury, North Carolina, this church got on fire for God. And the whole community came out to watch you walking with Jesus.
Amen.
Before long, even some people that don't come here will hear your name mentioned in a negative way in the community. Don't talk about that safe harbor. They loud. They crazy. But when you go in there, you see Jesus. In the preaching and in the people. Now somebody's in the fire tonight. You're going through it. And by the way, I'm not talking about chastisement. That's not the fire. That's the woodshed. That's called getting a whooping because you deserve it. Daniel chapter 3 is not chastisement for disobedience. It's persecution for righteousness. And some of you are going through it. But I'm going to tell you, you do right. You live for God. You're not only going to go in the fire. You're coming out. Father, right now I'm thinking about people in the fire. Christians all over this world. Some people sitting in this building going through some tough times. Some families that are going through difficulties, physical struggles. God, you're going to bring them out. You're able. But help them to stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. How many of you say, I'm going through the fire tonight, preacher? Raise your hand. Come on. All over the building. I'm going through.